Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev.
Om Ajnana Timirandasa Genanjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Shabatam Bande aham Sri Guru Sri Juta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Ganalalita Sri Vishakha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Pashyatunishata Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी हैव कम ऑल द वे अप टू चैप्टर 6 1/3 ऑफ द फर्स्ट आदिलीला। So we are progressing by the mercy of Prabhupada and Guru Varga, we are progressing very well. So those who are attentive on online, please keep it up. If you really like to come, you can come over to the
So the last time we were discussing the 6th chapter, which focuses on Advaita Acharya. It explained who Advaita Acharya is, and in doing so, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is establishing an important concept where we stopped, because Narayana Govinda Prabhu thought that we should take longer to discuss these concepts. And so that's what we'll do today. I also have the 7th chapter prepared. The 7th chapter focuses on the Panchatattva, who the Panchatattva are, how they are related to each other, and so on. So, we'll start from 641 where we stopped, I think. Roughly that's where we stopped last time. Laukika lilate dharma maryada rakshana stuti bhakti karana tamra charana vandana. To maintain the proper etiquette for the principles of religion, Lord Chaitanya bows down at the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya with reverential prayers and devotion. You think we could increase the volume of this mic? Because my voice is not strong.
I can hear pretty well. You might have to put it a little bit louder. Maybe just put the mic a little closer.
Yeah, I can put it closer, but then there is a feedback. There is feedback in the recording, that's why I'm saying. Anyway, so to maintain the proper etiquette means that how to behave in society externally. Internally, Advaita Acharya is a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a amsha of Mahavishnu, as we saw last time. And he wants to serve Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. So, as a result, there is a sort of a tension between the internal mood of Advaita Acharya and the external etiquette that has to be maintained. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always bows down at his lotus feet with prayers and devotion. Chaitanya Gosai ke acharya kare prabhu gyan, apana ke kare natanra das abhiman. The trouble is that Advaita Acharya, however, considers Mahaprabhu as his master, and he thinks of himself as a servant of Chaitanya. So there is a tension. So Krishnadas Kaviraj is then taking the opportunity here to explain some tattva. And that tattva begins with 644. Krishna Dasa Abhimane Ye Ananda Sindhu Koti Brahma Sukha Nahitara Ekabindu. So, the conception of servitude to Sri Krishna generates such an ocean of joy in the soul that even the joy of oneness with the Absolute, if multiplied 10 million times, could not compare to a drop of it. Bindu means a drop. Ananda Sindhu is the ocean of bliss. A drop of the ocean of bliss is more than 10 million times the happiness of Brahman, oneness of Brahman. And that bliss, that ocean of bliss is Krishnadas, the Abhiman or the self-concept that I am the servant of Krishna. So, Krishnadas is explaining that this is why Advaita Acharya wants to be a servant, because of the ocean of bliss that he experiences when he serves. But he does not experience, apparently, the same amount of bliss when Mahaprabhu bows down to him, because then he is not put in the position of a servitor, but now he has to accept respect, which goes against his desire.
In this world is opposite. Everybody wants to be the master or God, or trying. Nobody wants to be servant. Rather, slavery or servant, the idea in the, especially America, it's like a very degraded. So this is like a very difficult to answer.
Yes, so servitorship provides bliss. And that bliss is higher than the bliss that actually Krishna experiences. We saw this concept also in the, I forget where, I think in the fourth chapter, where the gopis who are serving Krishna in Madhurya Ras experience far more bliss than Krishna himself, particularly Shrimati Radharani. And that's one of the reasons for Sri Chaitanya's advent. Krishna wants to taste that, wants to understand that bliss that Radharani is experiencing. So same concept here with Advaita Acharya. Now Krishna Das gives several examples. So Krishna, before the example, again the concept. Krishna premere eka apurva prabhav guru samala kuke karaya dasya bhav. Love for Krishna has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord Krishna. So he gives the example of Nanda Maharaj. Although no one is a more respected elder for Krishna than Nanda Maharaj in Braj, who in transcendental paternal love has no knowledge that his son is the supreme personality of Godhead, still ecstatic love makes him, what to speak of others, feel himself to be a servant of Lord Krishna. So Shuddha Vatsalya Ishvara Jnana Nahi. In pure Vatsalya Bhav, there is no knowledge of Ishvara. This is an important concept, because if there is, then he cannot really satisfy Krishna's longing to be loved as a son by a father. So there is nobody. Tarasama Guru Krishna Arakehanaya. He is also a guru of Krishna. The parents are one of the types of gurus. And therefore, Nanda Baba is being called a guru, but nobody is as equal to him, Tarasama. But even then, Preme Karaya Dasya Anukara. Ecstatic love makes him act sometimes like a servitor, Dasya. Then he gives the example of the gopis. Even the beloved girlfriends of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, the gopis, the dust of his feet was desired by Sri Uddhav, and who are more dear to Krishna than anyone else, regard themselves as Krishna's maidservants. And he'll give some examples of that. Praman. He also gives a praman for Nanda Baba, but I kind of didn't include that to keep the presentation tight. The gopis are the most intimate devotees of Krishna. There is nobody in existence that are more intimate. And intimacy brings familiarity with it. This is seen in the joking between Krishna and the gopis, where the gopis make fun of Krishna. They steal his flute, they hide it. So you would think that there would be some familiarity, but they also regard themselves as Krishna's maid servants. So this key concept, that dasya is present in every rasa, whether it's madhurya, whether it's vatsalya, dasya is present in every rasa. This is the key point here, key tattva. And here's the example. Vraja jan, how do you say that?
Vraja janatiham.
Good.
Priyayoshitam
nija janasmaya dvamsana smita vajas
sakhe bhava
kinkari
smana jaranam chalasana.
O Lord, remover of the afflictions of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, O hero of all women, O Lord, who destroy the pride of your devotees by your sweet, gentle smile. O friend, we are your maidservants. Please fulfill our desires and show us your attractive lotus face. It's puzzling, but that's how it is. That Dasya is present even though there is the greatest intimacy between Krishna and the gopis. Still, the gopis consider that the Abhiman is as maid servants. They want to satisfy Krishna, they want to serve Krishna. And the service is as extramarital love, if you will, but that is also a service. It's not for their own pleasure or for satisfying their senses. We saw this concept in quite some detail in the 4th chapter. Want to add something?
He writes, Krishna bhajane jodi mati nahi bhela. No, Radha bhajane jodi mati nahi bhela. Krishna bhajana tava akarana gela. If you did not develop a sentiment to worship Radharani with Krishna, then your worshipping Krishna alone is useless. Heavy. Radha bhajane jodi mati nahi bhela. Krishna bhajana tava akarana gela. Ataparahita suraj. Nahi jani Radha birahita madav nahi mani. You never see sun without sunlight, do you? Anybody saw sun without sunlight? Never. So without Radha, if you see Krishna, something is wrong with you. It's very heavy. Very nice Siddhanta song, but so in the middle of the song he says, Radhikar Dasi Jodi Hai Abhiman. Same, self-conception. If you want to, if you can develop a attitude to be a maid servant of Radharani, Sigrai Milai Tava Gokulakan, then you can get Krishna just like this. Everybody wants to get Krishna's permission to final destiny arrival because he has to sanction. Of course, Guru's blessing means he's already sanctioning. But it says that if you can develop a conception that you want to be maid servant of Radharani, because Radharani is the highest form of Krishna's maid servant. Even though Prabhupada said Krishna actually chose to put himself in the Ladini potency, so he's always found under Ladini potency. So anybody really want to approach him, they should always take shelter of Srimati Radha. And in Brihad Bhagavatam Mita, was very sweet this verse, Narad Muni glorifying Hanumanji, how Hanuman is so close to the Lord Ram. The Lord Ram embraced him, Lord Ram very intimately see Hanuman, and for an example, even Sugriv one time after everybody got bidding farewell after the Vijay festival of entering into Ayodhya, they had a huge festival. So at the end, Lord Ram and Sita Devi, they are giving blessing to everybody. Goodbye, thank you for coming, thank you for helping, go back to your country, rule the country on behalf of me, Lord Ram gave. So he said, where is Sugriv? Nobody can find Sugriv. So finally they found Sugriv is behind the Hanuman. So then Lord Ram says, Sugriv, why are you hiding there? He said, how come you never give farewell to Hanuman? Because he develops so closeness to Lord Ram. So then Lord Ram wanted to establish the position of Hanuman. He said, Hanumanji, please come. Now I will say goodbye and you go to your place too. Hanumanji said, my Lord, where is my place? Your lotus feet is my father, your lotus feet is my mother, your lotus feet is my home, your lotus feet is my only shelter, there is no other place. So where I, you can bid farewell, but where am I going? I don't have anything, anybody. Your lotus feet is everything. So then Lord Ram told Sugriva, well, he doesn't have a place to go. His place is at my feet, so that's why I didn't bid him farewell. Sugriva said, I want that. So then, commentary by Sanatana Goswami Pada writes, how did Hanuman become so close to Lord Ram? By the potency of Sita Devi. We generally don't think like that. It is the Sita Devi's blessing that saturated Hanuman's heart so much that he became so close. So when we are saying that we want to be so close to Radha Krishna, we want to serve the Lord, then we have to have a only blessing is Srimati Radharani's, Swarup Shakti, Sambit Ladini, began with Sandini. Without mercy, not possible to get any trace. So this is of that. Very sweet. These are very sweet verses.
Microphone. Please, mic.
Okay. They said, well, Radharani says, sincere devotee praying to Krishna or serving Krishna.
Yeah, that's good.
So when Radharani is seeing that sincerity is kind of, she is the one who recommends that devotee to Krishna. Through her blessings, you know, she is doing the advance. Like she is seeing that, like.
Yes.
Like it's kind of, like you said, you know, two of them, like.
1968. According to database, there is only two lectures of Prabhupada on Radhastami. And one lecture in 1968 in Canada, Montreal, where Prabhupada spoke about this, what you are saying. Prabhupada says, so we can go to Radharani, he's encouraging us, we can appeal to her. Please tell your Krishna to allow me to engage in devotional service. Prabhupada said, then it will be easy. She can appeal and then Krishna will immediately sanction. So when you see the deed, you should appeal to Srimati Radharani. But Prabhupada says to appeal you, to appeal to Krishna. But I have no idea whether Radharani will hear, but Prabhupada says so, she will hear.
Yeah. Our Prabhupada is the most intimate servant of Radharani, so
yes.
We go through Prabhupada.
Yes.
Like,
yes. I was just mentioning the other day that, you know, I come from India, but you can keep it with me. I never hear any Hindu family, I mean, maybe they exist, but I never heard. Any Hindu family, when you host sages, saintly person or sadhus, you never ask the sadhu, give blessing to my child to become a maid servant of Radharani. So what Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan Day, every day he would host some sadhus, whoever it is, and he would ask only that blessing. So there's very, very, very high confidential kind of a approach. Generally Hindu family, they don't. They also give blessing to my child to graduate from school or get a good job or something material. But to become a male servant of Radharani, nobody happens. They used to ask, I mean, Guru Mahandev every day he asked for Prabhupada. So it's very, Prabhupada appreciates that.
अतिवतमधुपुर्याम् आर्यपुत्रो धनस्ते स्मरति स पितृगेहाम् सौम्यबन्धुंश्च गोपान् क्वचिदपि स कथम् नः किङ्करीणाम् गुणीते भुजमगुरुसुबन्धम् मूर्ध्नियधास्य तदानि. So this is a verse from Srimad-Bhagavatam.
Radharani
is speaking. Oh Uddhav, it is indeed regrettable that Krishna resides in Mathura. Does he remember his father's household affairs and his friends, the coward boys? O great soul, does he ever talk about us, his maidservants? When will he lay on our heads his aguru-scented hand? Again, the word maidservants is Kinkarinam. Radhanya is saying that I am a maidservant. So, again, the Dasya Bhav, Radharani is Mahabhava Swarupa. She is the most intimate servant of Krishna, you could say. So Krishna always remains the served, the potent or the possessor of energies. Everybody else is an energy of Krishna. We are individual souls, are energies of Krishna. We are called the Tatastha Shakti. The material energy of Krishna is called Maya. The Swarup Shakti of Krishna, which is in three portions, the Ladhini part, is the bliss energy or bliss potency, whose essence is Srimati Radharani. So everybody being an energy of Krishna is a servant of Krishna. And in that sense, there is only one reality, one person who exists, and that's Krishna. And everybody else is related to him as servant, as dependent, whereas the one independent person in existence is Krishna. Tan savara katharahu shimati radhika sabahite sakalam she paramadhika vinayamra dasi haiya sevena charana yamra prema gune krishna bhadra mukshana. What to speak of the other gopis, even Sri Radhika, who in every respect is the most elevated of them all, and who has bound Sri Krishna forever by her loving attributes, serves his feet as his maidservant. Although the reverse also is observed, that Krishna serves Srimati Radharani's feet, but we won't go into that now.
That's a reason.
This is the tattva, this is not rasa. So, Hanath Ramana Preshta Kwasi Kwasi Mahabhuja Dasyasthi Kripanaya Me Sakhe Darshaya Sannidhiri. O my Lord, O husband, O most dearly beloved, O mighty Am Lord, where are you? Where are you? O my friend, reveal yourself to your maidservant who is very much aggrieved by your absence. This is again Srimati Radharani's emotions. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj now winds up this part. He says that same Lord Krishna, who is served by everybody else in existence, has descended as Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone therefore is his servant. So it follows, if Krishna is served by everyone and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, then naturally everybody in Chaitanya Lila is serving Krishna, serving Lord Chaitanya, whether they are elders, equals or inferiors. Kehamane kehanamane sabatangadas yenamane karahaya se papyanasha. Some accept him, whereas others do not. Yet, everyone is his servant. One who does not accept him, however, will be ruined by his sinful activities. So how is it that those who do not accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme, how is it that they are his servant? Well, they are serving Maya, and Maya is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's energy, is Krishna himself. So either we serve Maya or we serve Krishna. Either way, we are servants of Krishna, because Maya is Krishna's energy. We think that we are not serving Krishna, we can reject him, we can not accept him, but it doesn't matter what we think. Ultimately, we remain the servant because we serve our mind, we serve our senses, we serve our incorrect understanding of who we are. We think we are American, Asian, Indian, and we go on through our lives in illusion and in darkness. We think that we become independent and we know what we're doing. But ultimately we are serving false ideas, our mind ultimately, which is the greatest victimizer inside of us. So one who does not accept him, however, will be ruined by his sinful activities. Because if you don't serve Krishna, you're serving Maya. And serving Maya means that we are accumulating good and bad results corresponding to our actions. And then we have to reap the results, and therefore we continue migrating from one body to another. and over eternal time. So that's why you're ruined, because you have no possibility of getting out of the cycle of birth and death.
Kosakarava Atmanam means, you know, silkworm? Anybody knows silkworm? You know where the silk comes from? They have those bugs, they have a saliva. And the saliva comes and they make a kind of a little tunnel around them. And they come to a point where they are being trapped and they think this is how they get protected. They literally think this is how they should be protected. But they do not see that actually they are going to die soon. This is what karma ends with. Kosakareva Atmanam. The living entity are just like this kosaka. Kosaka means silkworm. And even the modern virologist who deals with the germ bugs, and he says, Mr. Richard Christie, I was talking to him about it. He said, they have a natural instinct and they believe those bugs. They literally think that they are actually doing the best thing for them, that they are building a wall around them. But they cannot see that this is actually, they're getting in trap and they're going to die. But this is what karma is. Bhagavatam says this is what karma is. That karma actually keeps us just tied in within this just parameter. You have no chance to get out. But yet they feel like this is best. Yeah. And you feel happy about it. Yes, you wanted to say something?
Not really on that. Here's your little question though. I feel that.
Is it really the silk that makes them, it chops them and it kills them? I know it's not related to the Chaitanya, I feel bad, but I'm just kind of curious. Is it actually the silk that brings about their demise?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
No, it's not. It's not the cocoon, so they're making a cocoon around them.
Yeah.
And that cocoon is taken by the person who's making silk,
yeah,
put into boiling water, the thing is trapped inside and dies, boils to death. That's the point. Not
so
like
the, so
the people, the cocoon, person. The cocoon is by itself is not killing you.
Oh!
No, I don't think that silk is ahimsa. Well, I don't know how they make ahimsa silk, but the normal way to make silk is to boil these cocoons, and then the cocoons have the silk thread, so you pull the thread out. But I assume that the ahimsa silk means that they let the worm die? I mean, I don't know how they make
it. They die. They literally die. Yeah.
Nobody
comes
and puts
the
boiling water, then what
happens?
Because it's trapped inside, so where would it get through?
Silkworm. Is it the same as cocoon? look at the silkworm, not the cocoon. Because it may not be the same thing we're talking
about.
But in the meantime, I'll just to summarize this. You wanted to say something? Go ahead.
Oh, I just was going to say that another fruitful analogy that I always kind of liked is it's like worshipping the person's clothing instead of worshipping the person itself. You know what I mean? Like Maya is like the clothing. I just wanted to say something spiritual to make up for my digression. Thank you.
Good analogy. You found something? What did you say? Or do you want me to give the whole story?
So the cocoon, Wikipedia, it only talks about making silk from it. It doesn't say anything about it. It's made of a thread of raw silk, very fine, lustrous. 2,000 cocoons are required to make a pound of silk. Cuisine, legends, diseases, Chinese medicine. Sorry, we'll talk about this later. Don't have time. But I can't imagine that it would make the cocoon just to die in there. There has to be some purpose. But anyway.
No, they feel sick.
I know, but
according to the virus, probably it's
Actually, those who are eating hot dog or any sinful activity, if you really become close to them,
they don't feel there is any fear. Fear is from our side because we see them where they are heading. But to themselves, their own idea, they don't have any fear. They think whatever they are doing, even murderer, if you really talk to the psychologist, that murderer goes through so much mental negative, positive before they literally kill. And once he kill and he is okay with it, then second time is not a big deal and third time it become a normal, natural. Serial killer, if you talk to any good psychiatrist who really counsel like this, they'll tell you. It becomes a normal and they don't think there is anything wrong anymore after killing many times. So like this, condition is like that. You found something?
No, it doesn't die. After the silkworm has spun its cocoon, it will stay in there for 16 days and then it transforms into a moth.
Oh, we are talking actually.
Yeah, it's
not
this,
the same thing.
This is the silkworm. Anyway, let's go on. This is a little bit of a rasabhas because silkworms are far away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let's go on. Abhiman of Advaita Acharya is, and most everybody in Chaitanya Leela is, that I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya. A servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Three times it's emphasized.
Can you all chant this? This is, we should remember. What is, because every day Advaita Acharya depends to come. Just remember, this is what he says. This is his own word. What Advaita Acharya thinks. Let's chant all together.
Chaitanya re das mui. It's a mui, not muni. Mui. Yeah, mui is a...
And
it's silent, yes. Chaitanya re das mui, Chaitanya re das. Chaitanya re das mui, tar das re das. It's very simple, no? Very easy.
Chaitanya re das mui, Chaitanya re das. Chaitanya re das mui, tar das re das. This is his conception, means he thinks always like this.
So I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya, servant of Lord Chaitanya three times. So that must be true. And a servant of his servants. So that's not exactly true, because only one servant. So Etavali Nache Gaya Hunkara Gambhira Kshaneke Vasila Acharya Haya Shustira. Saying this, Advaita Prabhu dances and loudly sings. Then at the next moment he quietly sits down. Ekamatra Amshi Krishna Amsha Avatar Amshi Amsha Dekhi Jeshtha Kanishtha Achar. Lord Krishna is the source of all incarnations and all others are his parts or partial incarnations. We find that the whole and the part behave as superior and inferior. Advaita Acharya is a Amsha, a part of Mahavishnu, who is an expansion of Lord Krishna. Expansion of an expansion of an expansion.
Krishna samata haite pada bhakta pada atma haite Krishna ra bhakta haya primas pada.
Now, having established that serving Krishna is more blissful than anything else in existence, now he is saying that the position of a devotee is higher than Krishna. So let's see what this is. The position of being a devotee is higher than that of equality with Lord Krishna, for the devotees are dearer to Lord Krishna than his own self. So, this is kind of a deep subject here.
Krishna samina hetanra madhurya svadana bhakta bhaveta hetanra madhurya charvana.
The sweetness of Lord Krishna is not to be tasted by those who consider themselves equal to Krishna. It is only to be tasted through the sentiment of servitude.
Avatara ganera bhakta bhava adhikara bhakta bhava haite adhika sukha nahiyat.
All the incarnations are entitled adhikar, qualification or right, you could translate this word adhikar, that they have the adhikar to the emotions of devotees and there is no higher bliss than this.
We'll come back to this.
Come back to it. Okay, there is no higher bliss. We are going to discuss this again some more. But other than the bliss of devotion, there is nothing else in existence that is higher. Oh, this became too small. I forgot to make it bigger. Acharya charane mara koti namaskar ithe kichu aparadhana lave amar. Now Krishnadas Kaviraj offers obeisances and begs forgiveness. Let's see how. I offer my obeisances 10 million times to the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya. Please do not take offense at this. Tumara mahima koti samudra agad tahara yatta kahi e bada aparad. The glories are fathomless, he is saying, and so speaking of its measure is an offense. This is trying to convey to us that Advaita Acharya is this and Advaita Acharya is that, but words ultimately fail to describe the greatness of somebody like Krishna. Certainly a chapter with 117 verses cannot do justice to Advaita Acharya. And he recognizes this and therefore he is begging for forgiveness that Advaita Acharya not take offense at his limited capacity to glorify him. So you want to visit that subject?
Yeah, we'll go back to this 111. If you want to become very astute about this Rasa Tattva, that verse is very important. Avatar ganer bhakta bhava adhikar bhakta bhava haite adhik sukh nahiyar. If we can remember just few in this whole life, it will help us. That why so many pastime we see there is a kind of a like a contradictory pastime taking place, but actually because based on this dasobhiman. In order to understand this, in Taittiriya Upanishad there is a beautiful verse explain the gradation of happiness, and Sripad Madhvacharya, he break down that sloka and he gave how Krishna designed this universe. And he, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, from that he quoted a verse, Brahmananda bhavedesu cheta prarada gunikrita naitam bhakti sukham bodhe paramanna tullam api. And this is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the commentary given that what is the highest happiness as a human being right now that you can grasp? What is the highest happiness that you can experience as a human being in this planet right now? So he gave, if you have 7 things right now, if you have 7 things in your possession, then you will know what is the highest happiness you can get. Are you interested? Good. First thing he says, you have to become the only king of the whole planet. I mean, there was a time like King Yudhishthir, King Parikshit, they were the only emperor in the of the whole planet. So first he says you have to become the only king or emperor of this planet. Second, you don't have any enemy. Everybody is under. You conquer over. Third, all the ministers in your kingdom, all the secretary, whoever they are, commander chief, all the appointed officers, they are always very obedient and in love with you. Instead of like doing the job as a duty or some kind of a crookedness, a hate king or something. No, everybody has to like you. So that's third or fourth, third. Then comes next, you have to become expert in the Vedic scriptures, because if there is a natural disaster like a drought or flood or something, you have to engage the Brahmana to counter the natural disturbance in your country. So you have to become a very stoat, very genius, how to engage the Brahmanas so that everybody, all the citizens including you, everybody remain always happy, healthy, weather, atmosphere, not too hot, not too cold, not too, like a mother nature should give you minerals, grain automatically. You don't have to like endeavor too much. Then you have to have enough treasure, like wealth and all other. Whenever you need something, like a big festival expense or something in the country, it should be like automatically supplied. Not like, oh no, we don't have a gold, well, how do we make this ceremony? Not like that. You have to have all this possession. You keeping track? You have to have all seven in order to really experience the highest happiness as a human being. And the next one is, you have to have perfect healthy body. Like a really strong, whatever you call, macho or something. Like perfect body. And the last one is, you have to have a tremendous desire to enjoy like anything. Because even if you have a big body, you don't have I don't like it. Then it's not really highest happiness as you get bored. I done this. No, you have to have like a enthusiasm all the time to enjoy. If you have all these seven, then you know as a human being in this planet, that is the highest happiness. And when you experience this, please come and tell us, and then we'll hear it. But it is not unrealistic. Some people did it, you know. Some big king in previous ages, they did. You multiply 100 times that pleasure, then you will know what the forefather planet called Pitri Loka Ananda. Pitri Loka Ananda. There is a one planet, all the forefather that dies, good forefather, they all go there. Instead of going to Jamalaya or from Jamalaya, from hell, not hell, the judgment, they go to Pitri Loka Ananda. Forefather planet, they enjoy 100 times more than our enjoyment as a human being, highest happiness. If you multiply 100 times more of that happiness, then you will know that in the demigod, there is a Billa Sarga, Bhoma Sarga, Dibba Sarga, 3 types of heaven. And their maid servant, they have also billions of maid servants. What the maid servant of the heaven enjoy is 100 times more of forefather planet. And you multiply 100 times more, then you will see the happiness of Devananda or the demigods, what they enjoy.
How did that give you calculation?
The Madhvacharya gave the calculation. I guess some idea he has to give. Like a spiritual world, Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami path. When you come to Madhya Lila, you see how that Sanatana Goswami path says, how big is the spiritual world? He said, you multiply 10 times 100. So how many miles is that? 10 times 100. 1000. Okay, you calculate. 10 times 100. How much is that? Then 10 times 20. 10 times 10. Now you multiply by 100. Then you multiply by again 10. Then you multiply by 100. So after a while, your calculator will have an E, means it cannot do anymore. Why did Mahaprabhu did that? You know, I thought about it long. Why Mahaprabhu just, he could have said it's unlimited, done. He did it because our brain will not accept it easily. Unlimited, what does that mean? Or if you say 10 times 10, okay, I can figure it out. And then you feel like your brain sweating, it cannot figure out anymore. He said, that is spiritual world. So something like that, I thought. Yes, please.
I have a question about this.
Human enjoyment? Human enjoyment? Human?
No, it's... Oh. Similar to this type of mathematics that we see in Bhagavatam.
So, we were reading about Chitraketu and how he had, 10 million wives.
Yes.
So, is that literal that he had 10 million wives?
Yes.
Okay.
At that age, it is not, he was not a Kali Yuga Jiva.
Okay.
So it's different.
Okay.
And there's another view on that. So the Bhagavatam is also a kavya. Kavya means poetry. And in poetry there are different alankaras. One of them is atishayokti alankara, exaggeration. Exaggeration. So exaggeration in poetry is considered an ornament. Alankara means an ornament.
Ornament.
Is this not loud enough? He can't hear me. So, alankara means ornament and atishayokti means exaggeration. So sometimes in poetry you exaggerate. So Bhagavatam is also kavya. Kavya. Kavya means poetry. One of its aspects is kavya. So, you know, if we really think Chitraketu has 10 million wives, then, you know, and he tried to have a child with each of them, then it would take him, I don't know how many, tens of thousands of years just trying to have a child with 10 million wives, and then he wouldn't have any time to do anything else. I know, but still, you know, 30,000, 40,000 years is still pretty long. So even for Chitraketu, so the, you know, it is an atishayakti, you could think of it as an alankar. That means the concept is that they are trying to tell you that despite many wives, he wasn't able to, so then why are you trying, kind of thing. You know, you're not going to get material pleasure. There will always be suffering. That's the concept. But the other thing is I found in Śrīla Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam's commentary in the first canto, or somewhere, I don't remember, maybe on this verse, and he says that all these different, the large number of wives, not 10 million, but there must be a large number, were caterpillars in a previous life that were trampled under the feet of an elephant, who was Chitraketu, or some such thing, I recall. And so he had to come back to take the reactions of his unwitting trampling of the caterpillars. But Śrīla Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, anyway.
So, if we keep going like this, then you come to Prajapati Ananda, 100 times more, then comes to Brahmaloka Ananda. Then you multiply 100 times more, what's called Brahmananda. So in the beginning we read that if you multiply 10 million times, will not be equal to Dasa Vimana of Krishna. So how much happiness? It's unbelievable. But yet, not everybody is like fired up to become the, this is the illusion power. But we should literally believe that. The Dasa Abhiman, servant of Krishna, it's so high. How to make it people believe that is difficult. Because the Aburita and the, even the evolution of consciousness has a difference covering. Because avarita, sankochita, mukulita, vikasita, puna vikasita, the consciousness is covered to a degree that they cannot even, what you are saying, they have no clue even. They cannot even grasp it. Sankochita may be possible. In mukulita means budding form, budding. Covered form, they cannot. The consciousness cannot even perceive this. Those who are budding, they are called human beings. And Bhaktivinoda Thakura, there is the five types of human being. The one type is atheistic immoralist. That's a big number. And then you have a atheistic moralist. A lot of people are very moral. They want to, like, don't lie, you know, don't cheat. But they don't have any faith on God or anything. Then you have a theistic moralist. Then he gives the category of who accept the varnasrama dharma. Better than them is the devotees. And better than them is the perfect, you know, sadhu, like that. So only last two categories they can grasp this Krishna Das Abhiman, Jayananda Sindhu, the ocean of bliss that Krishna Das Abhiman. It is not possible everybody can grasp. I mean, we are reading it, but not experiencing that, but it is there, it is truth. So you go to the next one. Okay. Is this recording?
Yes.
Okay. We are on chapter 7.
अगत्यैकगतिं नत्वा हिनाथाधिकसाधकं श्रीचैतन्यं लिख्यते स्य प्रेमभक्तिवदान्यता. सो स्टार्टिंग न्यू चैप्टर विद ओरिजिनल कंपोजिशन फ्रॉम कृष्णदास कविराज. लेट मी फर्स्ट ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबीसेंसेस टू लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु हु इज द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ लाइफ फॉर वन बिरेफ्ट ऑफ ऑल पोजेशंस इन दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड and is the only meaning for one advancing in spiritual life. Thus, let me write about his magnanimous contribution of devotional service in love of God. Beautiful verse. So much packed into this. Hinarthadika sadhakam. Hina. Artha adhika sadhakam. One bereft of all possessions in this material world, for him, he is the goal. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that means we have to lose all our material possessions, it looks like, so that then he can become our only goal.
Offering
him. Okay. जय जय महाप्रभु श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य ताहार चरणाश्रित से बड़ धन्य. Let me offer glorification to the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who has taken shelter of his lotus feet is the most glorified person. Panchatattva ekavastu nahi kichu bhed rasa swarup ekadu vibheda vibhed. So now we are talking about Panchatattva in this chapter. Very beautiful chapter. Spiritually, there are no, by the way, in this chapter, after he discusses the Panchatattva, then Krishnadas Kaviraj starts to go into some history of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Varanasi. From there he went to Mathura. Then he came back to Varanasi, who he stayed with, who he debated with, and all that. So this is kind of a summary of that. I think Krishnadas Kaviraj was afraid of passing away before he would complete this work. So he kind of summarized things at the beginning. And then later on he elaborated them more. So, Panchatattva Ekavastu. Spiritually there are no differences between these five tattvas. Nahi kichu bhed. Rasa aswadite tabu. Yet there are also varieties in the spiritual world, and in order to taste these spiritual varieties, vivida vibhed, one should distinguish between them. So not that they are all one. Although they are one, they are not one. अचिंत्य भेदाभेद पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं. Popular verse. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Shri Krishna, who has manifested himself in five as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. So these are the five.
Who is
given in the purport? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore called Bhakta Rupa, the form of a devotee. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is called Bhakta Swarupa, the expansion of a devotee. Sri Advaita Prabhu is called the incarnation of a devotee, who is Vishnu Tattva and belongs to the same category. There are also different types of bhaktas or devotees on the platforms of neutrality, servitude, friendship, parenthood and conjugal love. Devotees like Sri Damodar, Sri Gadadhar and Mahananda are different energies. So this bhakta refers to Shivas. Bhakta Vrinda we say. So Shivas is the bhakta. Mahaprabhu is the bhakta rupa. Nityananda Prabhu is bhakta swarupa. Advaita Acharya is Bhakta Avatar, and Gadadhar Pandit is Bhakta Shakti. But curiously, Damodar and Ramananda are also included. Krishnam Bhakta Rupam Swarupam Bhakta Avatar Bhakta Akhyam. Bhakta Akhyam means who is called, named the devotee, that means Srivas. Srivas. Naman Bhakta Shakti. Shakti is Gadadhar Pandit. So Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa is Mahaprabhu. Swarupakam Nityananda Prabhu. Bhakta Avataram Advaita Acharya. That's how it goes. So Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Ekale Ishwara Advitiya Anandatmaja Rasika Shekhara. So we saw this word Rasika Shekhara before also. Enjoyer of mellows and Shekhara is the sunny. So Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, the Supreme Controller. No one is greater than or equal to Sri Krishna, yet He appears as the son of Maharaj Nanda. Rasadi Vilasi Vraja Lalana Nagara Araya Prasada Dekhatanga Parikara. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the supreme enjoyer in the Rasa dance. He is the leader of the damsels of Vraja, and all others are simply His associates. That self-same Lord Krishna advented as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all His eternal associates who are also equally glorious. So the comparison here is interesting. It is being made between Krishna and the damsels of Vraja and all other associates, Nanda Maharaja, Yashoda. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya has advented with His eternal associates who are equally glorious. Equally glorious. So, Narottam Das Thakur says that, what is that? Mahaprabhu Rasangi Gane Nitya Siddha Parimane. We have to understand this point that Mahaprabhu's associates are Nitya Siddhas. Just like Krishna's associates are Nitya Siddhas.
Nitya Siddhas means they have no trace of Maya. Period. We should understand it very thoroughly. Nitya Siddha means Nityananda Guna Sarve Nitya Siddha Mukunda Bhakta. They are same, like, same situation, Vishuddha Satta existence, means they never came in touch with Maya, period. Even when they come to the material world, they have no idea of how Maya actually affect them. This should be understood. It's not like Nitya Siddha becomes fall down. This is a misconception. This should be thoroughly accepted. And Prabhupada repeated many, many places like this. Gaurangarem Sanghi Gane Nitya Siddha Parivana. Bhajanda Sukhapas.
So it is almost the same statement that Krishna makes. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yaveti tatvatah tyakva deham punarjanma naiti mamiti. Mamiti. So one who understands Krishna as transcendental comes, goes to Krishna. So Bhagavan Das Thakur is saying, one who understands the associates of Lord Chaitanya as transcendental, Jaya Brajendra Sutapas, they go to Krishna. Brajendra Sutta though, not just Krishna, but the son of Nanda Maharaj. So this is a key point, I think.
Yeah, this is very important,
yes. Ekale Ishvara Tattva Chaitanya Ishvara Bhakta Bhava Maya Kanra Shuddha Kalidara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Controller, the One Personality of Godhead, has ecstatically become a devotee. Yet His body is transcendental and it is not materially tinged. Krishna Madhurya Eka Advaita Swabhava Apanaha Swadite Krishna Kare Bhaktabhava. The transcendental mellow of conjugal love of Krishna is so wonderful that Krishna Himself accepts the form of a devotee to relish and taste it fully. Ithe Bhakta Bhava Dhare Chaitanya Gosai Bhakta Swarupatandra Nityananda Bhai. So Bhai means brother. Nityananda Prabhu is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Bhai, brother. But also, so for this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Teacher, accepts the form of a devotee and accepts Lord Nityananda as his elder brother. Bhakta Swarupa. Prabhupada translates the word Bhakta Swarupa is exactly like a pure devotee. Swarupa means the very essence of a devotee, you could say. Bhakta Swarupa, Bhaktira Swarupa, means the essence of what it is to be a devotee, is Nityananda Prabhu. Bhakta Avatara Tanva Acharya Gosai, Eating a Bhakta Swarupa Prabhu Karigai. Sri Advaita Acharya is Lord Chaitanya's incarnation as a devotee. So, Bhakta Avatar. Avatar, the word avatar really means descent, somebody who descends. We use the word incarnation because it has become the way it, avatar is translated into English. Incarnation though in English implies coming in a body, a material form. That's not what we mean here. So, Bhakta Avatar. So, Advaita Acharya is Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, or you could say descent, as a devotee. Therefore, these three tattvas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Gosai, are the predominators, or masters. Krishna's Kaviraj is establishing the ontology of all these tattvas, of all these personalities. Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Gosai are masters. Even though among them Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Gosai are servants of Mahaprabhu, but ultimately they are masters, in the sense they are Vishnu Tattva. That means they are the possessor of Shaktis, of potencies. He tina tattva sarva aradha karimani chaturthe ye bhaktavatva aradhaka jani. So, the fourth tattva is the worshipper, aradhaka. The aradhya are, that means the worship, are Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu. Worshipper is Gadadhar Pandit, because he is the Bhakta Shakti. Shrivasadi yata koti koti bhakta gana shuddha bhakta tattva madhyata savara ganana. So, all the other devotees like Shrivas and koti koti means innumerable bhakta gana, they are the bhakta, what is it? Bhaktakhyam, that's the one. The name, they are called bhaktas, they are defined as devotees. So these are the Shuddha Bhakta. Named as Akhyam, named as devotees.
Known as.
So there are innumerable pure devotees, Hare by Srivas Thakur, who are known as Shuddha Bhakta Tattva, unalloyed devotees. That means they are not mixed with any other thing. So, when Mahaprabhu descends, he descends in the bubble of Shuddha Tattva, Vishuddha Tattva. He doesn't come in the material world. Although we say he comes to the material world, you know, it could be asked, well, how can God come to the material world? And it's true, God doesn't come to the material world. Because when he comes, he is coming in Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva is becoming established in the material world. That's the substratum, or the substance, which makes up everything in Krishna Leela. Just like Maya makes up everything in the material world. So even though they are in the material world, geographically, they are in the spiritual world, in actuality. So this is why all these associates are eternal Nitya Siddhas, eternal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhara Panditadi Prabhura Shakti Avatar Antaranga Bhakta Kari Gananayaha. The devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are to be considered incarnations of the internal potency of the Lord. They are confidential devotees engaged in the service of the Lord. Confidential is the word, Antaranga Bhakta. Who is the internal potency? Srimati Radharani, as we know. The Gadadhar Pandit is a form of Srimati Radharani. And he is a confidential, and all the devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are confidential servants of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So,
in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada says that, maybe in this chapter I think we'll find, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada says there are three sets of devotees of Lord Chaitanya. One is a big circle, they are all associate, parshad. Within parshad, then there is a intimate devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then within intimate devotee, there is internal confidential group. Like, amongst all dedicated servants of Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Prabhu was the most. But generally, in general, devotees don't see immediately like that. Now, Srivast Thakur is also very confidential. Yes, not as confidential like Gadadhar. He is in a bigger circle, not in a smaller circle. Gadadhar Prabhu's dedication is the highest of all. Nityananda Prabhu's dedication is big, yes, but not as confidential as Gadadhar Prabhu. This is very difficult to understand, but when you think very confidential discussion between Mahaprabhu and relationship with them, then you will know, oh, they are very, very confidential. Like Rupa Manjari to Radharani, it's so confidential that it's beyond, she doesn't even think Rupa Manjari is another person that she has to be alert of anything. She becomes so close, she feels like it's part of her body. Like part of your body, you're not shame or shy or anything, you know. So those Manjaris, they become so close to Srimati Radharani, that Radharani is not thinking like, oh, I have to be little, cover my body or, you know, like, am I properly? No, it's just like too close. So it becomes like a part of her body. Not that they merge or anything, not like that, just to have an idea. Like when a mother has a baby, mother nursing the baby, mother is not worried, oh, my breast is shown. She's not thinking like, it's a baby. Baby depends. There is no between mother and a child, there is no O.N. level, no, not O.N. Informality, yes, no formality at all. Like there's no question. The question even doesn't rise. So Srimati Radharani and Manjari is like that, like Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami. So they are so close. This is very difficult. Lalita Visakha, they are also very close, but little far. It's not that they are far, but little far compared to the Manjaris. One in far. Yeah, you can say that. Yes, that's good. One in five. In practically, to grasp it in our own family, we can see that, yes, within, just like a mother and child, there is no rule distinction. Like, she never feel anything like she has to, yeah, self-conscious. She's not even thinking that. So the Manjari and Radharani, so their service to Radharani is so confidential that there is no restriction, anything. But with Lalita Visakha, there is some restriction when Srimati Radharani is Krishna. And with other gopis, there is more restriction. So like that, within this. So there is a three groups, Prabhupada says, even with Lord Chaitanya. There is a bigger boundary, then a smaller boundary, then there is a very intimate boundary. So I put boundary.
Question, this is my question.
Yeah, a little bit earlier I was wondering, is there a definition of Maya even in that? Yeah.
There is a definition. Yes, there's a great, whole big discussion in the Shastras. If you read the Paramatma Sandarbha, a large portion of it, Paramatma Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, the second half of the book basically deals with Maya. It explains what Maya is. Definitely. It's also, we discuss this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it comes. And it will keep coming. Maya is an important thing. It's a word that's used often and it's easy not to think about it, yeah. Yeah. Certainly there's a big discussion and, you know, we can talk after class also. But I don't want to get into that now because Yeah, I sometimes I worry about rustles and mixing.
Yeah.
Now we are talking about intimate past.
But you can make it from him also. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave some definition. Bhagavatam, the Ritayattam Jat Pratiyata, Na Pratiyata Cha Atmani, Tad Vidyat Atmana Maya, Jata Bhasa Jata Atama. This is one good definition of Maya. This is in 2nd Canto, 9th chapter, 35, 36. Then you have Niyate Anaya Iti. Anything you can figure it out or calculate or you think you can within your grip, that is illusion of Maya. Because spiritual world is beyond calculation, beyond. Aghatana ghatana patiyasi lila shakti. That is opposite to Maya. And then the Maya is just, you cannot, it's just the opposite. Yeah, you can do it. You can figure it out. You're all just the opposite. So we can give you a few slokas. You meditate on that and then we'll go from there. That's good? No problem.
Okay.
Okay. सही पंचतत्व मिली पृथ्वी आसिया पूर्व प्रेम भंडारे मुद्रा पंच मिली लुटे प्रेम करे आस्वादना यत यत पिए तृष्णा बाढ़े अनुक्षण द कैरेक्टर पॉट I didn't get the word to word because then the font would become too small. It's too many words. So the characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew.
So, if they are becoming more thirsty, something is not right. Because this has to be understood in a different angle, not mundane way. Because generally we think like, oh, I'm eating, I'm feeling more hungry, why should I eat? Now that logic is not applicable here. This is actually, it is so tasty that there is a, looks like it has a limit. So then the devotee goes on pleasing Krishna, and there is an end. They come to the end, then they open the door, there is another 10-mile road to go. Then they keep on going, it's so ecstasy, going. They come to the end and they open that door, the end door is another 20-mile open. It's like it never ends. It's forever. But it looks like there is some end, but when they come to the end, it's like open another door. So this is very difficult.
पुनः पुनः पियाय हो हमत्त नाच कांड हास गाए जय छे मदमत्त श्री पंचतत्व. So we saw who the पंचतत्व are. Now he is explaining what they do. Themselves danced again, and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, they cried, laughed, chanted like madmen, madamatta. And in this way, they distributed love of Godhead. They gave love of God to everybody. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead.
This is very if you look at practically that story of Srila Prabhupada, then when he was giving class and they had a little kirtan and then Prabhupada spoke, And he spoke that verse 727. Jasam tu antagata papam jananam punna karmana. Tedanda mohani mukta bhajante mam dhirabhata. You want to serve Krishna steadily, then you have to have some pre-qualification. So Prabhupada said, pre-qualification means jasam tu antagata papam, all sinful, impious things finish. Means you did pious activities in last life and also this life. So when he said that, so he looked at the devotees and said, you understood that you must have done pious activity last life and this life in order for you to start this Krishna consciousness with a strong faith. Dhirabhata means very strongly vow you take, that you never give up. You know, like Dhirabhata means like you don't go, there's no fall down or going away, you like stick to it. So then one devotee said, but Prabhupada, I did not do anything in this life. I ate beef and I did all horrible things. I don't see that sloka is applicable. How to understand? So Prabhupada, this sloka is very sweet. Because this sloka is applicable. Prabhupada says, yes, you did not, but I made you fortune. You follow? According to Krishna, it's true. In this life he didn't do. But how is possible that he is so strong, he is still in Krishna consciousness and going on for the last 45 years so strong in Krishna consciousness? Because Prabhupada made him fortune. Prabhupada said, yes, I made you fortune. So, Bhagavad Gita even sometimes superseded by Mahaprabhu's mercy. According to Manushyanam Sahasrishu Kaschi Jatati Siddhaya, those verses sounds a little depressing sometimes. Maybe 1,000 lives? How long did we do? Okay, you put a logic, maybe we did 1,000 lives. But still, Jatatamati Siddhanam, whoever got perfection, among them, only one. Kaschid Mam Bhakti Tattata, only one out of that may know. So this sounds like, okay, maybe I am out of 1,000, how many thousand are there? But that is not applicable here in this Kali Yuga. Because Mahaprabhu's mercy actually can pull out. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in his Bhakti Tattva Vivek that actually the most fallen in this age, Advaita kahe prabhu bhakti bilaiva sti shudra adi sabate diva. So Advaita Acharya in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in chapter 6, there is one verse. Advaita kahe prabhu bhakti bilaiva. You have come for distributing bhakti. Please make one thing. No pre-qualification. So jasanta antakata papa actually, not deleted, what do you call, overlooked. Yeah, sure.
So Vishwanachakri Thakur explains that Yeshamdu Antagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Bandhu Mohanir Mukta. There, the Papa has been destroyed by the association of devotees. So ultimately, our philosophy is that Bhakti cannot come because you did some pious activities.
Right.
Bhakti comes from Bhakti. So Bhaktya Sanjayate Bhaktya Sanjataya Bhaktya. So that's why Prabhupada says, when he says, I made your good fortune, what it means is that I gave you bhakti, and that bhakti destroyed your sins.
That's what it means. So, from that angle we look at it, then we can reconcile. That we should seriously, I mean, I'm talking to myself too, we should be very serious and take this process as sincere and seriously as much possible right now. And try to encourage other devotees to take it. Because time is running out. Maya has another loophole in our devotional path. She doesn't like you to become serious. So she will keep you, don't worry, you're doing okay, it's okay, you didn't chant today, that's alright, tomorrow, you know, the mind is like a... Because if you become serious, then it's like, you can actually... If you look at those verses in Bhagavatam, he says, no anadisti kalim samra saranga iva sarabhuk. Saranga iva sarabhuk. That the bees, the bumblebees, They are not interested who planted this garden, who is the owner, what kind of plant, how much water, and who takes care of everything. They are not interested. They only see the flower, they go there, sit there, suck the sap from the sweet pulps, and then with their mouth they make the honey. And they literally get out. We have to become like that. We should not be interested. So many things going on in this world. How is the politics of the world? How, who is doing what? We need to watch the leader. No, we don't need to watch. We should just focus on Krishna consciousness and get as many devotees, as many souls participate and get out. There is no time. Otherwise, it just literally steals. This is my trap. She is going to put us like, oh, look at this, look at that, look at this, you know. It looks like, okay, it's not a big deal. But it steals the time. I practically see myself even. Like I can easily get distracted. Let me answer this little bit, this, this, this. It's not related to Krishna consciousness. You go off and then you go off. And then you realize 2 hours gone by. For what? Just to see who win the Olympics or something. This is a maya step. But if you look at it, kusalani asu siddhanti. But if you, Bhagavatam says that if you understand this Krishna consciousness, then you do it immediately. Why? Because it gives you asu, very quick result. And what about the bad things? It is very difficult. Kritanuja. Yes, Prabhu.
So you said earlier that Maya can be defined as everything that can be understood here. This is all Maya, this reflection. So that's one thing, this physical world and everything that's here. But now this, you're using the word again, Maya, illusion, but it sounds like this is a Maya inside the mind.
Yes.
Illusion in the mind.
Mind itself is the representative of Maya.
Okay.
How Maya is controlling you? Through the mind. That's why so many verses, Manoeva Manishchanam Karana Bandana Mukshaya Bandaya Vishaya Sangha Nivishaya Mukta. All these verses given for what? Jitendriya Prasantaya. All these verses given because of this. The mind is the, Maya herself is representing through the mind. And this is her devotional service. Not that I appreciate, but that's what she is, so I have to respect it.
So, since you asked again, maybe, Maya, what is Maya? Maya has two aspects. One is the conscious principle, Durga. Durga Devi is Maya. Durga Devi is Maya, she is conscious. And then there is also an unconscious aspect, which is called Prakriti. So like a potter makes a pot. The potter is the conscious person who is making the pot, which is made of mud or clay. So the ingredients are the Prakriti. Now, the jivas, the atma, us, we are injected into this Prakriti. It happens all the time, many times. It's cyclic. After Brahma is dead, sorry, I shouldn't say that, but after the passing of Brahma, 100 years of Brahma, you go back into Mahavishnu, come back out, go back, come back out. So this Prakriti transforms into Ahankar through several substrates, which transforms into three, Sattva, Rajatama. Sattva, Rajatama, they have products. The tamagun products are the body. Earth, fire, water, air, ether, all this is ultimately coming from tamagun, mode of ignorance. The mind is coming from sattvagun. And the intelligence is coming from rajagun. So these, when we say maya, it can refer to the collective, all of this. So when you say, well, the mind is maya, is the knowledge maya, is what is Maya? So Maya can refer to all these collectively. Illusion, Maya can mean illusion, simply put. illusion, or it can mean lack of knowledge. Avidya means the absence of knowledge. So it depends on what context you're using the word and how you're thinking and using it. So Maya can mean the Sattva Rajatama, the three gunas that are controlling us. It can mean false knowledge, it can mean illusion, it can mean the mind, it can mean Durga, it can mean Prakriti, it can mean, you see. So it depends on the context in which it is used. But for our purposes, what it means is that when we use Maya generally in conversation, we mean that there is darkness, lack of knowledge of Krishna, lack of knowledge of who we are and how we are related to Krishna, what the purpose of life is and how we should act on that relationship with Krishna. The ignorance of any of these is basically Maya. The ignorance of these principles is what constitutes Maya or illusion for us. The counter of that is, so instead of thinking of knowing these things, we know, we think that we have the body, we have the mind. I think I have gained weight, I think I'm the body. You know, I'm good looking or not. I think I'm troubled and unhappy, I think I'm the mind. So these are all illusions. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You have more questions you can ask?
Yeah, state of illusion.
Conditional illusion, lack of knowledge. So what is our functional usage?
And then even all that we consider to be reality and real here is also illusion.
The reality that we're surrounded by, we say it is an illusion when we misidentify with it, but we don't say that it doesn't exist. So there is another school of thought that says that it fundamentally is an illusion, that means a dream, it doesn't actually exist. But we don't say that. So we say that Prakriti is real, we say that the world is real. Real versus unreal. So the, okay, so what is unreal? The horns of a rabbit. A rabbit doesn't have horns, right?
Right.
So that is complete imagination, fantasy. So the mind always thinks that the world is like that. It doesn't actually exist. But we don't say that it doesn't exist. We say that it exists because the horns of a rabbit make sense to us as illusion only when we know that there is such an animal as a rabbit, which is real. And there is something like a cow, which actually has horns. And we are putting the two together in an unrealistic fashion. So there is something real. So we say that the material world is real, but our illusion is that we think that that's all there is. We are the body or the mind. And we are in complete ignorance of who we are and who Krishna is and what our relationship is. So this is why this world is called Maya. And the world is designed in a way that perpetuates our ignorance. It is not designed in a way that when we study it, we are going to discover the principles of Krishna consciousness. The only way we can get these principles is if somebody is merciful enough to give us knowledge to wake us up to this reality. Otherwise we'll continue to sleep in the lap of Maya eternally.
Thank you.
Okay, so yes, we are talking about the Pancha Tattva. Lutiya khaiya diya bhandara ujade ascharya bhandara prema shata guna bade. Beautiful verses here. Although the members of the Pancha Tattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity. It's not like they exhausted the love of storehouse of love. For this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. It's a never-ending storehouse. You keep pulling out love from it and the love keeps increasing. You can never exhaust the storehouse. These are quite far out concepts. I don't pretend to understand that. I'm just reading. Because it's difficult to grasp. And when you have experience of love of Godhead, then you can actually grasp all these things. I have no experience of these things. So all I can do is academically present what Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying. The flood of love of Godhead. Yes.
The concept that expressed through Chaitanya Charitamrita not necessarily anybody will understand easily, because there is a three stages when Jiva Goswami Pada says that when a person who is experiencing spiritual devotional nourishment, there is a Vaikari, Madhyama, Pashyanti, Para. So those who are coming from the material realm and getting some taste by the mercy of Guru Krishna, then they are trying to relate from the material experience so that other can grasp it, what it is. So that's Bajya Dasa, you can say. Means external experience, example used to demonstrate spiritual, external example given to demonstrate spiritual experience. Not necessarily this is what it is, but that's all they have. Because when we express our feeling or our realization, we use our conception manifest in a through a language so that other can conceive. Now if I speak something that you are not aware, that language, what I am speaking you will have no clue. So it's difficult. And then you have another higher than that is Ardha Vajra Dasa. Some are internal, some are external. Like Nityananda Prabhu, he took off his dhoti, put it as a turban and naked walking. Now if you think like Supreme God is doing like this, people will have no clue what they, what is that supposed to mean? How can it be some ecstasy? What is that ecstasy of becoming naked? Well, that's all they have experience of naked. It's not like Nityananda Prabhu wants to be naked. He has really no interest of becoming naked or not naked, because he has nothing to do with this material world. But what realm he is existing at that time, this is only those who are in Vishuddha Satta, they are relishing this. Those who are conditional, they think mundane way. The Supreme God became naked. So something to be enjoyed. What they enjoyed from naked? They had no idea. Naked means they think something like degraded, something private, something intimate, something like that. But Nityananda Prabhu is not a sensual enjoyer at all, first of all. He doesn't have material senses. So what got to do with it? So like this. And those are, and the more advanced is, those are antar-dosa, it will never be understood in the material world. Never. Because there's nothing they can do to make it, So some certain aspect of Chaitanya Charitamrita Bhagavatam, not necessarily we will grasp it, but if we have a submissiveness, eventually by the mercy, someday it will qualify us and we progress. That's the only way we can do. What else? Even he says that deity worship supposed to begin in Treta Yuga. Dvapara. Dvapara Parichajayam. Dvapara. Dvapara. So in Dvapara Yuga, deity worship. But in this millennium, the deity worship started in Treta Yuga. In 9th canto, Bhagavatam explained. And the reason given that when the sages saw that some people are started developing disrespect to the great saint, sadhus. Because sadhus are more merciful than the deities or the scriptures. Because sadhu, the bhakti is merciful, bhakti causing them to be merciful to the others. And the sadhu can see the condition of, deplorable condition of that particular soul, and he can see a particular medicine or process to pull him out. The scripture has all the medicine, like a CBS, or something. But if you have a headache, and you don't know what is the cause, and you keep on taking that, it may not cure. Because it could be caused by something else, from the intestine or something else causing, who knows. Only doctor, a genius doctor can figure it out. So similarly, the sadhus are more powerful, more compassionate, more effective to our life than the scriptures. Because scriptures is good, but faith to scriptures will increase by the association of sadhu. There is a very nice verse, it says, Siddhir bhavati ba neiti samsaya achyuta sevinam. There may be a doubt whether I'm really pleasing the Lord, am I serving, I'm chanting, am I getting something really, am I advancing? You know, doubt will come within heart. So, samsaya achyuta sevinam. Nishamsayastut ad bhakta paricharjara tatmanam. But if you take shelter of sadhu, it says, that verse says that you will remove your doubt. Without taking shelter of sadhu, not possible. Why? Because sadhu sangha develop a particular attachment, particular attraction, and that particular attraction actually push you to experience mystical Krishna consciousness taste. And by that taste, you will develop so attached to Krishna consciousness that you, that complete faith, complete understanding of Krishna consciousness, which is not possible, but still it is possible from that taste. And the commentary given, Maya Shakta Mana Partha Jogam Junjam Madasvaya. Asamsaya also. If you want to know completely, Krishna says in 7.1, that you must take shelter. Now what kind of shelter? This is a sadhu shelter, devotee shelter. So like this, sometimes we cannot understand, but there is a reason why. Because we are coming from different background, and the speaker is speaking from his background. He's trying his best. It's not that they are not merciful, they are really merciful. And sometimes you think like in Kali Yuga, what is the end of Kali Yuga? End of Kali Yuga means the conditioned soul will have no interest even to talk, even to argue about God. Forget about bhakti, but even to argue about God, they have no interest. So Prabhupada put it, he said, those who are intelligent and inclination for philosophical understanding, they will come to Krishna consciousness. I didn't even realize. Where are we? 7:25. We'll start from there next week. Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bol.
Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu.